Thank you so much, Andrea and choir, and thank you, Lord, because you've never failed us yet, especially these graduates here. I know you never thought you would make it to this day and this coming week, and I'm so proud of you. God's going to use you, and he's going to be with you every step of the way, and he is not going to fail you. And there's a lot of adults out here that can give that same testimony, that God's been with them every step of the way. Now, I've got a special message for these young people today, but it's a message that hits every one of us, no matter how long ago it was that you graduated from high school. So I want you to take your Bible right now. Would you do that? If you don't have a Bible with you, reach right in front of you, get one of those pew Bibles. Turn with me to the first book in the New Testament. That's the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the pew Bible, turn to page number 1124. Once you found the Gospel of Matthew, turn with me to the 11th chapter in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And that's where our sermon begins today. And you can see the title of today's message is The Invitation. And many of you graduates have just gotten over writer's cramp addressing invitations to family and friends to come to your commencement exercises, your graduation ceremony. But I want you to know that the Lord God has also written an invitation to each and every one of us. And the cost to him was not writer's cramp, because his invitation was written in red. It was signed in his own blood on the cross of Calvary. And that's what we want to look together today at, is God's invitation to us. And I notice three things here beginning in verse 28. The first one is the request for us to come. Look there with me at those first three words in Matthew 11, verse 28. What important words they are is Jesus said, "Come to me." Now the key word here is that first word. It's the word come. It's also the primary word in our church's new mission statement, which is come, connect, grow, and go. And just as these graduates have requested the presence of their friends and loved ones at their graduation ceremony, God is requesting for us to come to him. You know, we call graduation a commencement exercise. A lot of people get the wrong idea, and I don't want you graduates to be under the false impression that graduation means the end. It actually is the beginning. You're embarking on a new chapter of your life. That's why we call it a commencement exercise. And that word commencement's very interesting. World English Dictionary defines the word commence as to start or begin. And look at these key words, come, or cause to come into being, operation, etc. And when a person accepts God's invitation to come to him, well, they come into a wonderful new existence. It's an exciting new life that God calls them to. And I want us to also look at that word come in another way. In the Bible, it is equivalent to the word believe. It is synonymous with the word believe. And there's a great scripture that shows us that. It's John 6, verse 35. Jesus was talking, and he said, "Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Now, that's a couplet where there are parallel words. Obviously, the word hunger and thirst are parallel, but the word come and believe are also synonymous. And so God is inviting us to come to himself. When he says, "Come to me," he's saying, if you want rest for your souls, if you want to go to heaven, you won't find it by coming to church. Now, I want to commend you for coming to church today on High Attendance Sunday. That's wonderful. And I want to commend you for being involved in Sunday school early today. But none of those things will earn you heaven as your home. There's a lot of people under the false impression that we're supposed to come to church if I want to go to heaven. Or I need to come and get baptized. Walk down an aisle, shake a preacher's hand, get baptized. Early this morning, we had our deacons meeting, and our chairman of the deacons, Brother Jerry Davis, gave his testimony. Boy, it was a stirring testimony, as he told us about growing up in a family with six kids in the northeastern part of Mississippi, and And he started going to church with his older brother. He was a 10-year-old boy, and he was in a Sunday school class. He was the only boy in that Sunday school class that wasn't a member of the church. And they had a special drive that time of year to try to get as many people as possible to join the church. And so Jerry, 10-year-old boy, felt like, well, everybody else is, I should. So he walked down an aisle, shook a preacher's hand, got baptized. But all that happened to him was he got wet. He never got saved until later in life. And so whenever we come to Jesus, we're coming to Him and Him alone for our salvation. It's not coming to church. It's not coming to get baptized. It's not coming to do good deeds thinking that's going to earn my way into heaven. It's simply coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that if you've never done that, that you will do that this morning. We must put our faith in Him and Him alone. But I want to tell you this, Jesus will not force His way into your life. He has created you in such a special way that He has given you the dignity of decision making. You can accept Him or you can reject Him. And so I encourage you, if you've not done it before, to choose by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His request, that you would come to Him. But go on here and notice something else here. We see the recipients of this invitation when Jesus goes on there in verse 28 saying, "Come to me," that's the request, "all you who labor and are heavy laden." Well, many of you graduates feel that way. You're just worn out. You are dog tired from all the homework, all the extracurricular activities. You say, "Man, that is me. I am weary and I am heavy laden." But let me tell you the audience that Jesus was speaking to here. He was speaking to the Jews in the Gospel of Matthew. And the Jews in Jesus' day and before His day had worked themselves to total and complete exhaustion trying to be good enough to earn heaven as their home. They tried to keep the Old Testament law perfectly. They tried to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. They tried to have straight A's because that's the only way you could get into heaven, is to keep those Ten Commandments and have straight A's on every one of them. And no one has ever done that. No one except the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that has ever lived a perfect life. And so when Jesus was speaking to these people who were just so burdened down and so weary, trying to be good enough to earn heaven as their home, He's saying, listen, it's not about the law. It's not about the Ten Commandments. It's all about your faith and coming to me and me alone. And what a refreshing piece of invitation that was from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a key word here I want you to see also. It's the three-letter word all. All you who labor and are heavy laden. It's interesting how the Bible uses that word all over and over again to describe who is invited to come to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all. Jesus said Himself in John 12, verse 32, that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. He said again through Paul as he was writing to young Timothy over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that God desires that all men be saved. You want to know the heart of God today? God wants everybody to be saved. Now the truth is, not everyone will be saved because not everyone will come to Christ by faith. And that's so sad for me to think about. Here's the heart of God. He desires for all people to be saved, but not all people will be saved because not all people will choose the Lord Jesus Christ. That word all was important to the Apostle Peter because over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he used it and he said, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's why Jesus said in John 3, 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's invitation is to everybody. No matter what you did last night, no matter what you did last week, no matter what you did last month, God's invitation is to everybody. No matter what you did 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 1 year ago, God says, "Come to me." And look what His promise is. He'll give us rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and this is the payoff. I will give you rest. Oh, if you've been trying to work to be good enough, making straight A's on the Ten Commandments, oh, you'll never make it. All you'll make is yourself miserable and weary in the process. But God says, if you'll just come to me, how simple could that be? Just come to me. I've done all the work for you on the cross. That's why we call the cross the finished work of Christ. I don't have to do any work. He did all the work for me on the cross of Calvary. I just come to Him by faith. But you know, you can't have that rest unless you have a relationship with the Lord God. That's why I think Psalm 23 is so important. It speaks to that. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Not his shepherd, not her shepherd, not their shepherd. But I know Him in such a personal way that the Lord is my shepherd. Can you honestly say that today about yourself? I know the Lord because I've come to Him by faith, and He is my shepherd. And because of that, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm perfectly content in Him. I don't need anything else to make me happy because the Lord is my shepherd. He is all I want. He has everything that I need. And you know how the rest of that psalm goes? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Boy, what a picture of rest. Do you have that kind of rest today? Where your spirit is just so calm and so centered on God that you have followed Him, your leader, your shepherd, and He has given you rest as you lie down in the green pastures. Not only that, but He'll lead you beside the still waters. What a beautiful picture of rest that is. These Jews in the Gospel of Matthew, they had no idea what that kind of rest and peace was. They were working their fingers to the bone. You see, under the Old Testament system, under the Old Testament law, the day of rest was the seventh day of the week, Saturday. It was called the Sabbath day. And under the Jewish legalistic system, you had to work 6 days, Sunday through Friday, to earn one day of rest on Saturday, the Sabbath. But when Jesus came and He was resurrected, not on the Sabbath, not on the seventh day, but on the first day, He totally inverted that whole way of thinking. Whereas before, under the Old Testament system, I worked 6 days to earn one day of rest, Jesus gives us the rest right off the bat on Sunday so that we then can work for Him. Oh, dear friend, God wants to give you His rest today. And it's not about joining a church. It's not about getting baptized. It's not about doing good deeds. It's not about keeping the Ten Commandments. It's just about coming to Him and responding in faith to His invitation. But as I look at these verses, I see not only this request and these recipients, but I also see the responsibility. Look there with me in verse 29 as Jesus continues to speak. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, isn't this a paradox? Jesus has just been talking about rest. As a matter of fact, the last word in verse 28 is rest. But now He's talking about work. He's talking about my responsibility. That's what He's talking about when He talks about yoke. You see, God's invitation is a gift, and it's also a responsibility. God's invitation is a privilege, and it's a demand. When you come to Jesus by faith, He gives you rest, and He says, "Okay, now, let's get to work, because I've got a job for you." And He calls it a yoke here. Now, let me tell you something about what a yoke is. In Bible days, a yoke was hand-hewn from wood for a particular animal. Depending upon that animal's size, the farmer or the carpenter would make the yoke just for that particular animal. It was not one size fits all. It was particular to that individual animal. Now, here's the point, graduates and adults. God has a tailor-made yoke just for you. It won't fit anyone else. He's got a job and he's got an assignment that he has set aside just for you. And your goal in life, young people and adults, should be to find what that yoke or that job or that responsibility is and do everything within your power to fulfill that responsibility that God has made just for you. It won't fit anybody else. It's so sad. I know adults that have been searching for that place of service their entire life. And you'll never be more miserable in your entire life doing something you're not supposed to do, doing something that God has not called you to do. God's got an assignment just for you. And you young people, it's exciting to hear about what your plans are. Some of you already know what God wants you to do. For some of you, it might be a military career. For some of you, it might be being a coach or might be being a teacher. Maybe it's a missionary. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's to work in business. I don't know. But God does. And He has an assignment just for you. And something else about a yoke. It is made for two animals. Okay, preacher, I get it. I fit in one side of the yoke. Who's going to be in the other side of the yoke? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to help you carry the load. He's going to go with you every step of the way. You won't have to do it by yourself. His promise is, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you every step of the way. He will help you carry the load. He carried the cross for you. And now He says to us as His followers, take up your cross and follow Me. But here's the truth. You can't take up your cross if you haven't been to the cross for forgiveness. And that's why God's invitation to all of us who have never been to the cross is to come. To come to Him. Find our rest in Him. And once we've found our rest in Him, find the responsibility that He has for each and every one of us, so that we can get yoked up with Him and do the job that He's called us to do. He's speaking to hearts right now. And some of you already know what you need to do. You need to come. And so with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I pray that you would do that right now. Dear Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for His invitation. And I pray now that you will give individuals here faith to respond to your request, that they will find your rest. And Father, that they will also find that tailor-made responsibility that you have for them. And Father, we come to you by faith now, in Jesus' name. Amen.